Hello and welcome to another supplemental teaching series for the Discipleship 101 New Believers course. Today the subject matter is going to be on witnessing, and today I'm going to jump right in because there's a lot of material to cover, and I want to try to keep it simple, but yet, you know, this is one of the greatest areas to really go over as new believers and to get an understanding of what it is to be a witness and how to witness and witnessing. It's all very, very important. And so I'm going to cover a lot of material today for the teaching. And again, I'd just like for you to listen and grab a hold of the information that's coming across as the Spirit of God is going to speak to you and just use this word, this message to help you teach and to help us disciple those of us that are in the class. I'm really excited about what's taking place in the classes right now, and we're almost getting to the point where we're wrapping up the course. And so we are just really stressing that every person who's coming through the course gets a really great understanding of what it is to witness. And so with that, let me get right into it. And we're going to look in Scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. The Bible says, and it tells us, and we see this in the Word of God, that Jesus came and spoke to them, meaning the disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Notice that Jesus has been given, first of all authority. And with that, we see that the first and foremost priority that he begins to initiate to the disciples is to go. And that whole idea of going means go and be a witness and then make disciples. So here we see the birthing of what it is to witness take place in the words of Jesus Christ. So in other words, we have to be conversion-minded. We have to convert and transform the people of the world to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a strong priority in the life of a Christian. Now, this can be very difficult if we are not properly equipped to witness. So the question becomes very clearly, how do we witness? And I say to you that that's a very good question. And so let's explore that, and with the hope that you will obtain a more solid understanding to witnessing and that you can accomplish the task of making disciples of all the nations. I mean, this is really what we want the class to understand, is that they can accomplish the task. They can become conversion-minded to make converts, to witness, and save souls for the kingdom of God. So just think, Jesus proclaimed that you can make an impact to the nations by saving souls. I mean, what an extraordinary impact a person can make, as Jesus proclaimed. Says that this means that through witnessing and leading individuals to the Lord, we can make a very big impact and a very big difference in the world. So as we observe, you know, like the news headlines and the things that are going on in politics today and social turmoil and the things that we're experiencing right now today in these times, it is really a blessing to think that you can make a difference with every person that you lead to Christ. So know and understand that you are called to be a soul winner. One of the number one priorities in the life of a believer is to win others to Jesus. And when you think of the time when which you were converted to Christianity and surrendered your life to Jesus, you would probably think back of what a wonderful moment of change that was. And salvation in Jesus Christ is, in fact, the best gift that has ever been given. And so as the recipient of this wonderful gift and the new life, we must not just hold on to it for ourselves, but instead we are to do as Christ implored of us, and that is to be witnesses. According to Acts 1:8, the Bible says that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and that we shall be the witnesses to in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so this is a priority in the heart of the Lord, that we would have the power and we'd be enabled and filled with His word, that we would witness to others and not be afraid of that. I want to give us a couple keys and some foundations to witnessing success. So I'm going to go through these point by point, and I'll be talking pretty quickly, but I want to make sure that we get this all. So point number one would be, don't be afraid to witness. I think we're speaking to believers in the room. of the discipleship class. So we should not have a fear to witness. So point number one is do not be afraid to witness. Now, fear is one of the toughest areas to overcome when it comes to witnessing. This could be a very complex area due to the fact that there can be several different reasons why a person would have difficulty speaking to someone about anything, let alone about leading them to Christ. But let me assure you, fear is not a factor for us. I don't know about you, but I remember seeing a television show a few years ago called Fear Factor. And this show, the contestants were challenged every week to do something completely out of the scope of being normal in order to win a prize. And the challenges ranged from jumping from high buildings and helicopters to eating meals of worms and roaches. It was pretty extreme. Well, week after week, there was always a winner. And I loved it when the host announced the winner, because he'd always make this statement. And he would say, obviously, fear is not a factor for you. When we witness to others about the Lord, we overcome fear. We go beyond our limitations and we stretch ourselves to do what Christ has commissioned. When we see people leading others or witnessing to non-believers, I think to myself, fear is definitely not a factor for us. This gets me excited and enthusiastic toward wanting to get involved and do my best for the Lord and spread the gospel. In fact, God did not give us a spirit of fear, according to 1 Timothy verses chapter 1, verse 9. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And at the end of all this, we will all receive a reward in heaven. Isn't that a great thing to have in the back of your mind, is knowing that as witnessing, we're spreading the good news and we're spreading the assurance of our reward in heaven. Isn't that just the best deal you could ever get involved in? I don't know about you, but I enjoy witnessing. And I know that fear is not to be a factor. You can do it. We can do it. The disciples in the class, they can do it. Let us not feel that we are not able to speak to someone about Jesus. We have to overcome that. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how we'll do it. If you have just been saved, then guess what? You can lead someone else to the Lord. In John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, we see Andrew, who just began to follow Jesus. Andrew was so excited about following Jesus that he immediately went to go get his brother Simon to bring him to Jesus. And so once Simon was introduced to Jesus, Simon's life would never be the same again. In fact, Jesus even changed his name to Peter, which meant rock. Now, can you imagine that meeting Jesus had such an outstanding impression on Andrew that he got his brother to know Jesus right away? We need to reflect on Andrew as an example to us. Let us take action like Andrew and bring our relatives to Christ. Bring our friends to Christ. Bring those who we know or are close to us to Christ. And then work on those that we don't know. Let's bring them all to Christ. A transformation is awaiting to all of these people once they make Jesus the Lord of their lives. There may be some cases out there where we may not need to spend a lot of time debating with our family and our friends about Jesus. You know, Andrew just immediately went and got Peter. Maybe what we need to do is be like Andrew and just tell them, come on, I want you to meet Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing if that impact would just take place so quickly and so easily? Point number two, don't be ashamed to be a witness. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Just take a minute to meditate on this scripture. In fact, I would just tell you, you know, encourage your class to memorize this scripture and to speak it to themselves over and over again. Have them say, you know, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Don't be ashamed of what you have. You have Jesus Christ living and abiding in your life. This is not something to be ashamed of, so don't be embarrassed. We cannot be embarrassed about the greatest gift and the love of God that is in us. We don't have to be self-conscious. We don't have to be shy. We can be bold, and we need to be bold. So tell somebody about the love of Jesus. Tell someone God sent his only son to die on the cross for their sins. Tell someone that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is coming again. Tell someone that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We've got to tell them, guys. We've got to tell them. We got to tell them. We need to go and tell them. If there's one thing that I can just reiterate again, tell your class that we have got to tell them. You have got to be bold, and we've got to have the courage to tell somebody about Jesus. The interesting thing is that we might not be a bold person, but remember, the Holy Spirit is the source of the power we will need to get the job done. In Acts 4:29, the believers in the church prayed for boldness. They prayed, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." They were praying for boldness to speak the word for the purpose of witnessing in Jerusalem. If you need boldness, then you need to pray for it. And guess what? God will grant boldness to you because he will use you to perform great works through you. If all he has to do is give you a little dose of courage to do that, you know what? He will. And the strongest point that I have to make sure that we all get is simply this. If you are feeling ashamed and do not and need the courage to carry out the commission, then simply, according to Acts 4:29, pray for boldness. God has not forgotten you. All that he performed for the believers in the Bible is available to you. And we know where to go if we need to buy shampoo or buy shoes or even buy a cup of coffee. Well, then I also want to make sure that we all know where we can go to get courage and where we can go to get boldness. It's in the Word of God. Point number three, equip yourself with these tools to be effective at witnessing. Be in prayer. Absolutely so important. We need to pray the Lord of the harvest. According to Matthew 9:37, the scripture says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Remember that the disciples were a representation of you and I as believers. The Lord was giving them insight to witnessing and what they would need to know as leaders of the church. You and I and all these students in discipleship are called to be leaders in the church. And just the mere fact that they're attending Discipleship 101 class says that they want to know and be a part of the soul-winning function of the church. God bless your decision, because as Jesus was stating to the disciples, the laborers are few. Those that are taking on witnessing are some of the few that Jesus is speaking about. Jesus says that we pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's keep this on our priority prayer list. The next thing is to pray for boldness. Again, Acts 4:29, "Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." The disciples of the Lord were praying here because of the threats, because of what the Sadducees and the chief priests were planning for the believers. The disciples knew that there was opposition against the spreading of the gospel, but they did not want the knowledge of this opposition to be a hindrance to them, to continue to be witnesses. So they did what they needed to do. They prayed, and when they prayed for boldness. They knew that they would need boldness to continue the ministry that they had begun in Jerusalem. They knew they would face resistance, and the one thing that they were going to need was godly intervention, and for themselves, a dosage of boldness was necessary. When we as witnesses, we need to pray for boldness so that we will not be afraid, embarrassed, or ashamed of the gospel message. So when we pray for boldness, I believe that we will receive it. And when we witness, it will be noticeable that we are bold for the Lord. The world needs to see our boldness. Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 9, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Point number four. We need to be in the Word. Again, so important, especially in any discipleship class. Be in the Word so that we can be filled up with the Word. And doesn't that make sense? Put it this way. If you were a car salesperson and you were on the car lot where all the car buyers come, you would have to know a thing or two about the cars on the lot, don't you think? I think so. If you, as a car salesperson, did not have any information for the buyer would probably walk away from you and there would be no sale. On top of that, the buyer may even think that you, as a salesperson, might want to consider alternative employment. The point is, you limit your impact of being a witness by not having scripture in your heart. I know that you can do this. You might be saying right now that it's difficult for you to memorize scripture. Well, if that's the case, so then, for one, don't feel any pressure right now. There's no deadline for you to have to learn scripture right now. There's no unattainable goal for the amount of scripture that you need to memorize right now. Don't get me wrong, it would be great for you to memorize as much scripture as possible. But also, if you're having difficulty memorizing, then let me advise you, do one scripture at a time. I bet you already know one scripture by heart, and I bet you can say it anytime, anywhere. And that scripture usually is John 3:16. If that is the only scripture you know right now, then guess what? You're off to an outstanding start. Don't ever feel that you cannot be effective when, even with that one scripture. Taking this course, Discipleship 101, is not to discourage you at all. It's only to encourage you. So if John 3:16 is the one and only scripture that you have memorized, then I suggest you make it a goal to memorize one more. Here's another good one, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason I select this one for you to memorize is because it's short and easy to remember. You always want to start with a short scripture to memorize before tackling other longer scriptures. Just one more suggestion to make to the class to help them memorize is to write memory verses on a 3x5 index card. Write the verse on one side and write the scripture reference on the other. And you can do that so you can drill yourself throughout the day or wherever you're at until you've memorized the scripture and the reference. As I mentioned here, here's a list of scripture to help you get started, help the class get started. You might want to jot these down and communicate these to the class. Each one of the scriptures is related to the gospel message in some way and can be used to lead a person to salvation. So I recommend that you become familiar with these scriptures, and this will help you be equipped with the Word of God as you use it to witness. Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Obviously, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 5:8, one of my favorites, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. These are just some scriptures that I pulled out for you to just equip yourself and to continue to put into your scripture memorization and getting the word inside of you. This is important. Point number five, which is to know the gospel message. Oh, this is so important. The gospel is described in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, when Paul says, Now I make known to you, brethren. Paul is witnessing to the people in Corinth and the believers so that there can be affirmation or reaffirmation of the gospel message. You see, the gospel message has a significant importance to the kingdom of God. That importance is to help expand through soul winning, through the promotion of the gospel. So God did not call you into an exclusive club. He brought you in, and he used others to do that so that you could come to know him and so that you can do the same in return for someone else. Witnessing is such a critical part of our Christian worldview that we must know the gospel message. So let me continue with what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He says, The gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, which also you stand, by which also you were saved. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Can you begin to see that Paul is emphasizing the importance of what the gospel is, what it does, how it defines the church, and what priority it has in ministry? Passing on the message of the gospel is on the A list. Let's really think about this and let it sink in for a moment. To Christians, this means that a top priority for us is to deliver, preach, speak about, tell somebody, do everything we can to promote the gospel. And Paul is saying that we need to be witnesses. He's saying if we receive the gospel and we stand on the gospel and we are now saved because of the gospel, then just as Paul has received and delivered, then so should we. So now that we know this, let's continue with what the gospel is. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So you see, it's that simple, but yet so meaningful. And I know that you will remember this message because it is the message that you heard when you received Jesus. Let this sink into our spirits so that we can train, teach, raise, equip these disciples so that they can learn to the importance and be excited about delivering the gospel message to all. Another important point, point number six, which is to know your testimony. It is so critical for us to know our testimony. If you don't know what a testimony is, then let me define it here. The testimony is defined by Merriam-Webster's as a firsthand authentication of a fact or an outward sign, an open acknowledgement or a public profession of religious experience. Your testimony should be a profession of faith that authenticates openly and acknowledges before all men the experience you had when you received Jesus. It should describe your life before being saved. It should include the events that took place that led you to your experience receiving Jesus, and should also describe what your life has been like ever since. The impact of your testimony will be what will help others relate to you, as well as let others people see that receiving Jesus makes a change in a person's life. People need to hear and see. Remember, they do not walk by faith believing before they receive. They are lost in the world. And in order for their senses to be impacted, they rely on evidence. Your testimony, your life, is the evidence that the people in the world need to see. Your testimony is evidence that God is a loving God and that he sent his son for everyone. My last point, point number seven, know the sinner's prayer. Once you have prayed, once you have spoken the word, once you have shared your testimony and been supportive of the person, be ready to pray the sinner's prayer with them. This is such a simple prayer, but yet so powerful and amazing. I think of the Lord's suffering for our sins when I am going through a battle with someone to bring them to the Lord. There is no doubt about it. Sometimes it is tough, but the reward will be so wonderful. And the fact that God uses us to save another's life is amazing. When it is time to lead a person to salvation in Jesus, use this following prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart to you. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Remember this prayer. Let the people in the class tell them of this prayer. Tell them of these steps. Make sure they know that it's important to be in prayer and to be in the Word and to equip themselves with tools and be not ashamed to be a witness and be filled with boldness and courage and make sure that they're in the Word and that there's scriptures in their heart that they can use to share the gospel and make sure that they understand that the gospel message is so simple that it's about how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture out of the love that God demonstrated for us, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day so that we could live with him, that we could be saved by the shedding of his blood as he was the ultimate and the best sacrifice for all of mankind. Make sure that we know our testimony. Make sure that each person in the class can share their testimony with somebody else. And not only share their testimony, but let's make sure that we're living our testimony every single day. And then finally, just know that sinner's prayer. Be ready, be prepared, and be ready when somebody says, you know what, I want Jesus now. I'm ready to ask him into my heart. I need to be saved. I need to be changed. I want what you've got. This week, I'm so excited about what we're going to be teaching our class, our disciples. This is the passion. This is what it's all about. This is where the new life begins, when somebody receives Jesus into their heart. And I just pray that our disciples in our discipleship class, man, that they get impacted this week, and that they get into a place where they just want to go and tell somebody about the Lord and see people's lives transformed. This is where we can make the biggest impact in the whole world. Churches may go away. Bands and music may go away, but we will never let the word of God go away. The gospel message will never depart from our lips. And we can save somebody no matter where we go, no matter who we're with, whether it be family or friends or relatives or enemies for that matter. We have the gospel. We know Jesus Christ. We have the best gift to give somebody else. Let's make sure that we can give it. Let's make sure that we're encouraged to go forth and give it, to spread and preach the gospel to the lost. God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed this message this week. I hope you enjoyed this teaching. I hope that it sinks into your spirit. And I hope that you're able to pass on this torch, the baton, to those that are in the class, so they may be fired up and excited about witnessing for the glory in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and have a great time in your class.